It's Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
All right, we're going to go out to Mick Ultra Arena in just a couple minutes as Willie Ramirez is getting ready for a couple of big games for the Las Vegas Aces. Yep. Caitlin Clark, Sunday is almost here. The Fever are in town. I would say the Fever are mad. You know, they're coming off the rough game against the Connecticut Sun, trying to beat them up. Bunch of thugs, right? Marina Mabry and J.C. Sheldon poking Caitlin Clark in the eye, but that's not what they're mad about. They just lost to Golden State, so upset there. And I'm sure they'll get a fired up, focused, and a monster crowd at T-Mobile at the Fortress for ladies basketball. But there is a game tonight. We're going to break that one down in a couple minutes. And really, we wanted to get into what's happening with the Aces. Normally, a 5-6 start for a team wouldn't be a big deal, but this group has such a pedigree of winning titles and figured, hey, this is the bounce-back year. They're going to be right in it. And so far, the beginning of the season has been not so great. I'm hanging out here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Let's go over to Mick Ultra Arena. And Willie Ramirez is on the scene. What's up, William?
What's happening? How are you?
A lot's happening, man. A lot's happening. I saw ESPN did a really good breakdown, I thought, of what's going on with the Aces, and I think it's a good road map to follow. I know you were on what Sin City beat the other day. What was your basic take when those guys were asking you what's going on with the Aces?
Well, the funny thing is 1 year ago, about 1 year and 5 days ago, Asia Wilson came into a post-game press conference, sitting next to Becky, and I asked her, look, what we see from press row and people in the stands, we see the world's best player. Why is it that you continually come in here after every game with this 5-5 start and put the pressure on yourself in defense? And she looked at Becky, she goes, here I go, I'm going to get emotional. We've never seen Asia in that state, and she broke down and started crying on the right there on the dais at the post-game press conference. And the fact is, this is the second straight season that this team has done this. So it's not as if everyone, you know, the people that are in shell shock are the fans that just have these expectations. It's like Golden Knights fans. We become expectant of the Aces to start off like they did in the back-to-back seasons. The take for me is that there's three players realistically on this team that have chemistry, and that's Jackie Young, Asia Wilson, and Chelsea Gray. You bring in someone like Jewel Lloyd, just because she's an 11-year veteran, whatever it is, I think it's 11 years, it doesn't mean that she's immediately going to meld with the system when you also have a brand new bench, per se. You lost the sixth player of the year, Tip Hayes. You lost the sixth player of the year from the year prior, Alicia Clark. You lost a lot of your bench, Kate Martin, key components. I even said on there, Kirsten Bell may be a returner from, and she's been here for X amount of years, but she didn't play barely any last year. So she's having to adapt to the chemistry of the new players on the bench and Jewel Lloyd. Kia Stokes, you throw her in the mix. She's always said, hey, I don't care about my offense as much as I do my defense. I'm there to help in the paint, clean the glass, and play defense. If I can get offense at the other end, it's a bonus. So people that get on Kia Stokes saying that, you know, why do we have her on? I see, you know, obviously comments on different social media platforms. Why do we have her? She doesn't contribute. She never really did. She's not an offensive-minded player. So realistically, it's blending all these personalities and finding the right chemistry. But you know what? They were 5-5 last year. They're 5-5, or they're 5-6 now after losing to Minnesota. They've got two big tests against them now. But the latest status report just came out. Asia Wilson is probable. She's been upgraded from questionable to probable. I would suspect that she wants to get in, get the cobwebs out, per se, after being in concussion protocol, no sort of pun intended there, and get herself bodily ready for Sunday's big game against the Indiana Fever.
From an organization standpoint, we've talked about the roster. You just broke it down to a certain extent. Why don't they have a GM?
It's a good question, Steve. It's something that I did bring up on the air on Sin City Beat. You know, Nikki Fargus on Media Day and Becky Hammon both said that, you know, they worked hand in hand during the offseason. They're very comfortable with Becky wearing two hats. She's not officially the GM, but she's sort of acting GM. And then you have Nikki as the president, and they did the sort of the groundwork leading up to the draft and assessing the talent and whatnot. The problem for that I'm wondering, and obviously I'm not a front office person in with the WNBA organization, is who's assessing the talent when the game is going on now and you're seeing other teams right. already make moves. You know, teams are, you know, these teams that are sending their players to play overseas and with the FIBA and whatnot, and they're having to pick up other players. They're keeping an eye on the free agent pool. They're keeping an eye on player pool and making trades and whatnot. Not saying that they're not capable of doing it, but that's the way a GM would do that. If Becky's the acting GM, she's trying to blend this new bench together and deal with a team that's 5-6 and currently sitting in eighth place when there's eight spots in the playoffs. That's tough. So I don't know why they don't have one. They were comfortable going into the season without one, but I do think that it's a good possibility as to why they could be behind the eight ball against other teams when it comes to being able to grab some players that are available at the right time.
Well, it looks to me like letting Kate Martin go in the expansion draft might be a mistake. Remind me about the expansion draft. Did teams expose players who were veteran players who were making good money? And did Golden State take any of them?
It wasn't all youth. Like Kayla Thornton had some success and was a big key piece to the New York Liberty. So that's proving to be their big pickup. Like if you watch last night's game, she was the star. Kate wasn't on the floor. She come off the bench and contributed. So she's doing some things. It's a collection, really. A collection of players are doing things. But Kayla Thornton's been the star for Golden State. So there was a lot of teams that left players exposed, whether they were youth or veterans. And Natalie Nicasi came out up front when she was questioned, what are you, you know, especially after the draft, what is it that you are looking to accomplish? She said, we're not trying to have an identity, and we're not trying to isolate one person as a superstar. We're just going to go with the flow, and whoever emerges and try to build from there, instead of going in, pointing the finger, saying, this is our superstar, or this is this, and this is that. We don't know what the identity is. We're an expansion team, and we're going to, you know, let the chips fall. Well, it's working so far, because they're 6-6, and they're in. You know, they're in the upper half of the standings.
So the offseason for the Aces meant Kate Martin went in the expansion draft. They had Tiffany Hayes walk. They also lost Alicia Clark. And you've talked about the bench issues. People are just not comfortable yet with roles. The other thing is you mentioned the pressure on Asia Wilson, right? Her performance when she's been healthy has dropped off a little bit. Like, there's so much pressure on her, and the league is also covering her a lot differently. The amount of double teams she's facing is an all-time high for her.
Yeah, it broke up a little bit, Steve, but what I got from that, I think you're asking, is just the amount of pressure that Asia's got put on her shoulders and with the league and the way that the schedule and the other teams where they're at is what she's facing. But you know, that's something that Asia has accepted since day one, even before Becky. You know, when she was a rookie under Bill Laimbeer, she sort of knew the role that she was. I mean, that was when Kelsey Plum and De'Erica Hamby had been sort of the veterans of the team, if you will, and Kelsey was still young. But, you know, Asia has always shouldered the burden of being the person that's going to carry the weight for this team. And you're not going to – you can bring someone in to help her. It doesn't matter who it may be. When it was Candace Parker, even Candace Parker, right? You're talking about a legend, arguably one of the top five players of all time in this league. Asia was still the person. She was still going to be the woman, right, on this team. Like we say in the NBA, this person's the man. She was the woman, and she's going to be. And you're not going to tell her any different. I don't care who you bring in to help her. You could bring in Breanna Stewart or, you know, some other superstar. She's going to carry that burden because that's just who she is. She did it at South Carolina, and she's going to do it here. So you're not going to escape that. The key, again, is building around her and getting everybody on the same page as to what her and Becky expect from the team. The thing is that makes Asia special is when she says that, you know, I want my teammates to know what we expect and this, that. But she also expects that from herself. She's not somebody that says, hey, she's not the leader that's going to point the finger and dictate. She's going to say, if she's not contributing and doing what she's expecting of others, she's going to be hardest on herself first.
Willie is with us at the MUA Mick Ultra Arena as the Aces are getting ready to take on the Storm. And then on Sunday over at the Fortress, Kaylin Clark and her team are in town, so it should be a boffo crowd for that one. One last thing in the story that ESPN wrote about what's wrong with the Aces sitting at 5-6, also pointed to Becky Hammon, not necessarily saying there's anything wrong with her, but I thought this was interesting that Becky, and we know this, has said her team is soft mentally, not only has a heart issue, but also a head issue. This is the second year in a row I'm hearing stuff like this. I know the WNBA is covered differently, and it drives me freaking nuts. At what point do we look at Becky and go, Becky, the message has got to be different. Like, you got to take some of the blame for this. Come on. There's got to be some accountability.
Well, and she does to an extent. I get it. But those are the phrases that are going to get sort of extracted and put out there. Or they, you know, they say, click here, Becky Hammon says this, or whoever it may be, and they just put that particular quote. Becky Hammon calls her team soft. But Becky puts it on herself and her staff. She, you know, if she says, hey, we need to have more heart, when she had that phrase, I believe it was after the Seattle loss, and she said, you know, I can't teach that, but I can't teach this, but I can control minutes. So she's going to put it on herself to make sure that her and her staff are doing what they need to do. And let's not forget, by the way, that she lost Natalie Nicasse and Tyler Marsh. So not only are the bench players having to build chemistry and learn what those top three players of this organization are doing, those assistants have to get on the same page as well. Not saying that they're not doing their job, but this is a brand new team with three standbys from the back-to-back championship teams. So it's a process. Here's the thing. I 100% believe that this team is going to catch a heater and go on a run when they're fully healthy. I don't know. Here, you also, Chelsea Gray and Jack Young are two players, and I would believe Jewel Lloyd. This is the first year that we play with her, and that we've covered her, and she's been fantastic. But you're not just going to get Jack Young and Chelsea Gray to sit down. They're going to play through injuries. They tried to do it last year. It wasn't effective. But the fact of the matter is, you're talking about some dogs. They're just not going to sit down for. You know, nicks and cuts and bumps and bruises. So it's going to take a lot for them to sit out. So I have to wonder if maybe they're feeling the grind and feeling a little injured. You know, we talk about Kaylin Clark because everyone wants to make their videos go viral, but they're just as physical on this team that they are on every other team. I'm watching it firsthand. They're just not showing it because Jackie Young and Chelsea Gray and Jewel Lloyd aren't making their TikTok and YouTube videos go viral. Only Kaylin Clark are. But let's not pretend like Kaylin Clark's the only one that's getting physical play. The Aces are getting physical play. Asia Wilson got beat up in Seattle one game, and she didn't even get a free throw attempt. So let's not pretend like Kaylin Clark's the only one.
Willie, sit tight. We're going to come back to Mick Ultra Arena here in just a couple minutes. And I think the assistant coach losses, that's a really important thing to mention. We haven't really concentrated on that Becky Hammon's two assistants went off to Golden State and to Chicago, and I can remember a couple years back with Kevin Kruger after his first year at UNLV, all three assistants left, and then there's that whole adjustment process. There's so many things where that is affected. This part of the show is brought to you by Jackson's Bar and Grill, Top Value Steak in Las Vegas. Great spot to hit before all the action around Las Vegas. 1 pound ribeye is $20. Garlic marinated bistro filet is just $20 as well. You get your veggie of the day and your choice of seven different sides. They got happy hour going down with $5 drinks, and you want to ask the bartender about how you can win an invite to their monthly Prime Rib Fridays. Jackson's Bar and Grill.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
Yeah, we are on in Reno, Northern Nevada. Presented by Battleborn Injury Lawyers. Number to call from anywhere in the state of Nevada, 766-1400. Got to dial 775 in the north. We're getting ready for two big Aces games this weekend. Certainly don't want to come out of the weekend at 5-8, and it's been a struggle, especially with Asia Wilson down. Willie just updated us over at Mick Ultra Arena that Asia has been upgraded to probable. So, Willie, give me a couple of keys for the game tonight against the Storm.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, by the way, we're getting busy in here in the media room. I have just been graced by, like, the front office. Carly's in here. Deandra's in here. We got Carly and Caroline. So, I mean, I can't believe we're here by Las Vegas Aces front office royalty. So I kind of feel privileged and honored that we're on live while the Aces front office is in here with us. I would say first and foremost, they need to match Seattle's intensity with their defense. Seattle has been a really good team. Noel has this team fine-tuned with Nneka Ogumike, Skylar Diggins, and Alicia Clark, of course, former Las Vegas Ace. So I think that's one thing that the Storm have done really well. And remember that these two teams split up in Seattle. Seattle spanked them pretty good. The Aces went back and got revenge. So sort of a rubber match here in Vegas for the first half of the season. And I think that's the very first and foremost is because of the struggles that they've had at the defensive end of the floor. They need to match the intensity that Seattle's going to bring because they're going to come in and really attack that and sort of try to, and they know how Jewel plays, I mean, this is, again, third time that they're facing her. So I think that's one thing for sure is matching defensive intensities. At the other end is finding who has the hot hand early on and making sure that she gets fed the ball, whether that's Jackie Young, whether that's Jewel Lloyd. And then the third thing is incorporating that bench. And Becky's always said this season, who's going to have the hot hand? I don't know. She predicted at Media Day. She said, I'm going to have another sixth player of the year. That's how confident she is in her bench. So which bench player is going to step up tonight? That's the key. So, I mean, for me, the three keys are matching the defensive intensity, finding the hot hand early on, and then getting the bench going. Asia is too easy to say she's a key if she is playing and if she's on restricted minutes, whatever it may be. That's too easy to say, of course, she's a key to the game. But those other three, I think, are really important.
Willie is with us down the road at Mick Ultra Arena. It's Cofield hanging out here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Aces tonight coming up on ESPN Las Vegas with a 7 o'clock tip. So we're previewing the game a little bit. But it's a big weekend because the Caitlin Army comes into town and the game is moved over to the Fortress and T-Mobile. Willie, anything in terms of special setup that the Fever need? Like I never ask you when teams come into town, where do they get to practice? Where do they work out if they're here a couple days early?
Yeah, so we got the press release. I was going to try to go out today and do some interviews for got a couple of assignments, two for out of town, and then one, of course, for our good buddy Arash Markazi on the Sporting Tribune. But they canceled their practice after playing last night, so they probably got in and they're resting at their private hotel, which I will not disclose.
Can't do that after we saw Kelsey Plum and that whole yeah, – which, by the way, I got to get to an update of that, but keep going on the Fever.
And then, but they are going to practice. And again, I mean, it's going to be out there, but I'm not going to be the one to put it out there for media eyes only with the press release that we got. They did switch locations. So they're going to be practicing at a from Willie undisclosed location tomorrow. And I will go out there tomorrow. I've already RSVP'd. So they'll probably get a decent, when you're on the road and you're playing every other night, that's sort of your hardcore runs, I would imagine. And they're not going to put them through anything. I don't imagine. I'm not sure if Stephanie White is rejoining them or if it's going to be Austin and Bree January handling things. So I would imagine it would be a light practice. They'll get a decent shoot around in where they're going. And then Sunday morning, they'll do their, they won't do a morning shoot around. They'll do their warm up. And it's a noon tip. So I would imagine that they're just going to sort of fine tune some things and maybe go over their plays and maybe go over whatever they saw that from tonight's game with the Aces to sort of, get ready defensively.
I got to follow up on that story, that the video that came out the other day of Kelsey Plum greeting an autograph seeker. And I don't know if rude is the right word, but she was kind of off-putting. And I don't think most people saw the update. And a bunch of different sites sent the video out. So the general reaction, Willie, especially from a lot of guys, is the WNBA sucks. No one watches. This is why you don't have any fans. Why is Kelsey Plum being an ass to a fan?
Right. And it was horrible to see, when you, especially off somebody that played for the Aces that personally, and how much her fans mean to her. So to see the responses and to see those aggregation sites that decided to just write 150 words and embed the video of Kelsey Plum looking and going, this is kind of a turnoff. Why are you here type of thing? And De'Ara Cambi behind her rolling her eyes. The reason that she was so turned off and sort of creeped out was they were getting off the bus after checking out of one hotel, checking into another because of the fact that fans are flooding these hotels these days. So they literally left one place to go to another. They get off the bus, and there are these autograph seekers who most likely they have their cards lined up, and then they're going to turn around and resell them and rebrand them. It wasn't a matter of being creeped out because you're an adult and you want to get an autograph, fine, that's cool, whatever. Kelsey Sarnes, we watch her do it all the time. It's a matter that you knew where they were going immediately after checking out of one hotel, and you found out how. That's creepy to these women. And it's BS. I mean, I talked to a security from an outside team that was visiting Vegas, and I asked them, I said, how has it been this year for your team and with your superstar? And he's like, it's been okay because we're on top of things, we're experienced, but how these fans find out where these ladies are staying, we have half our team listed under Jane Doe. So, you know, sometimes they've had to switch hotels, and this was one of those situations. So it just wasn't fair for Kelsey to have to go through that.
You think, back to the Fever being in town, you think Sunday's game will be a sellout? I see get-in price up on ticket resellers, like $38, a lot of $40 tickets in the upper level. Can they fill it?
Oh, they'll fill it. Those are just secondary, and I don't think they'll have a problem. I'll be real honest with you up front, just disclosure. I paid $51 for two tickets each, so $102. And sent them to my father for Father's Day. He's a Caitlin Clark fan.
Oh, there you go.
I told him, you got to get into T-Mobile at 10:30 sharp, and go to the left and go over and get your ADA. He's going to swap them out for ADA seats wherever they put them, on the upper, you know, tier or on a floor pod, wherever it may be. But no, I bought him Father's Day tickets because he's a Caitlin Clark fan. So,
there you go.
I'll get to see my dad on Sunday and catch up with him a little bit. But yeah, I it's going to be, come on, it's good. Here's the thing, it's going to be sold out because regard, like when Paige Beckers came, there were Dallas Wings fans, right? There's always fans. There were Sparks fans because the proximity of LA. There's still Kelsey Plum fans, but the Aces still dominate their home arena. It's not like a Raiders game where it's 50-50. The Aces have their home fan base built in. That place will be packed with Aces fans and Caitlin Clark and Indiana Fever fans, no doubt.
My Lord, this is a good weekend for shows and games around Las Vegas. I was thinking if I can go to the game, but I don't think I can. All-star voting is out for the WNBA, and Caitlin Clark obviously is doing really well with the vote tallies, but so are a bunch of other players on the Fever.
They are, and that's, I think a lot of people saw that, and there was a little bit of a question as to now that you want to talk about a Caitlin Clark effect, right? A direct effect on Caitlin Clark. The voting that's in, four of the top 10 vote getters for the All-Star are from the Indiana Fever. Now, I'm not saying that they don't deserve to get votes, but in the top 10, you have Aaliyah Boston, or Caitlin Clark's one, Aaliyah Boston is three. Kelsey Mitchell is seven, and Lexi Hull is nine. Now, all last year I was coming on, right? We come on, we talk WNBA and the Fever, and I would tell you, Kelsey Mitchell is the leader of the team. She may not be the star. She may not be the face. She's the leader of that team because she's been with that franchise since day one. She actually, her and Caitlin Clark finished tied for scoring last year. So, you know, I'm not saying she's not deserving of being an All-Star, but she's seventh. Lexi Hull is ninth. They're in front of players like Kelsey Plum, Satu Sabli, Alicia Gray, Jonquel Jones, Nneka Ogumike, Yerika Hamby, Alyssa Thomas. Those are players that you would expect. Jackie Young is 24. To me, that's where you're seeing the Caitlin Clark effect, because they're going on and they're voting. And when you hit the app or you go to the website, you get six front court players, I think, and five backcourt. It's 6-4 or 6-5. So you're just clicking. Well, obviously they're going through and they're clicking all the Fever.
Lynx, new number one team in the WNBA. Liberty right behind them and damn close to them, probably the Mercury.
Yeah, the Mercury just knocked off the Liberty last night in New York, which I was a little surprised by, only because they had just played in Connecticut. And it was a very emotional game for Alyssa Thomas. She's opened her career there, played her first, I believe, 11 years with the Connecticut Sun, and led them to, they were one of the best teams of the WNBA. If you remember, they played the Aces when the Aces won their first championship. Kurt Miller was the coach there. That was with Jonquil Jones and Alyssa Thomas and Dawana Bonner and Courtney Williams, a really good team. So very emotional. And if you watch, there was a camera on Alyssa. She watched the tribute video, and afterwards she got emotional and she got broke up. So to turn around and play on the second night of a back-to-back after an emotional game like that and play the New York Liberty, which were, you know, going to be geared up at home to see them lose, I was a little shocked by that. But the, you know what? Nate Tibbetts is a guy who has been mentioned by a lot of people, which I think that's what I'm going to be working on tonight courtside, is my quarter pole awards for WGRamirez.com in terms of the MVP, or should I say MVP.
Willie, we got about 10 left.
Coach of the year, so on and so forth. So Nate is the front runner, but I like Natalie Nicasi.
Hi, Willie. We appreciate it. Thank you. We're having a little connection issue, so we'll let you run to go do your media stuff. Thanks, man.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
We'll get into some of the betting numbers for tonight and this weekend with the head of the book here at Treasure Island, Chuck Esposito. It's Cofield and Company at our Friday home, TI, Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Free parking, only place you're going to get free parking on the Strip. Awesome joint, and this place is dynamite to watch sports. 55-plus TVs, cool menu items like the new spicy chicken sandwich, and everything's really affordable because, you know, you come down to the Strip as a local, and more often than not, it seems like everything is $25 and up, and they've really held the prices here pretty good at the Golden Circle. So come on down here, get that spicy chicken sandwich, the mini pork bites. I love the Loco Mocos. A bunch of dudes on the show are fans of the chicken salad sandwich. So, as I do every day, Griffin, I'll take a look at TMZ and TMZ Sports. And I saw a story this morning, Jordan Hudson absolutely vacationing in California. It's a picture of her, like, laying sideways. She's actually got chicken fingers in front of her and fries and a salad, but she's all flexed up. So, pictures of Belichick's lady, Jordan Hudson. So I thought to myself, man, you know what? I feel like she's been out of the public eye and gone for like a month. This is great for Belichick. Enough. Let's move on. Let's get the football. And then I was reminded that because of Jordan Hudson, now people are going to follow. And by people, I mean lots more people than just sports. Paparazzi are going to be around Belichick and Jordan Hudson, his girlfriend, the 24-year-old, 23-year-old, all the time. And we see this horrendous picture of Belichick hustling around the airport, and I feel so bad for him because this is me. It doesn't matter how fat or thin I am a heavy sweater, right? And he, you know, obviously here in Vegas, you know, you can work up a sweat pretty quick. How bad is this picture looking with the sweatshirt? He's got the gray sweatshirt, she's standing next to him looking all young and thin, and then what does his back look like?
Oh, my gosh. It looks like the swamp monster. It's freaking awful. But, hey, he is to blame. He is to blame for this situation. What are you doing? I've never been to North Carolina. I don't know how hot it gets during the summer. But
humid as hell.
Yeah, I assume it's not cool. Yeah. So why are you going to the airport in some big old diesel jeans, a thick gray hoodie that is going to show perspiration if you sweat? It's so bad choices by the coach here.
Hey, it says here... Well, they really have the travel details. It says here, perspired right through his hoodie as he attempted to catch a plane to Vegas. So I don't know if they split up or they all went to L.A. or what the hell's going on. God dang, they're on top of this. Belichick was seen talking to gate attendants. You know why he was all sweaty? This is 6:58 in the morning, only 16 minutes prior to the flight's scheduled departure time. So not only are you in humidity hell in North Carolina, but you're running late. You think it's Belichick who made them late, or was it Jordan?
At this point, I don't know. Coach Belichick's always preached about don't be a distraction. He's been a distraction. Now
do your job. Show up on time.
We're not following any of the rules, I guess.
Dude, look at the one of these pictures, and I hate doing pictures for radio. This is up on TMZ Sports. He lifts his right leg up. Are those bare feet coming out of the sneakers, or are those socks he's wearing? It looks like a bare foot to me.
That is a bare foot. There are no socks on the... Oh. As great as Bill Belichick is, this is going to be a weird little observation. I can't imagine he smells great.
We've talked about it before, man. He, you know, years ago, he would wear jeans with flip-flops, and I referenced his feet as having talons on them. Like, you got to have good feet to go barefoot. And if you're going barefoot in sneakers in humidity, I agree with you, man. Maybe he's one of those rare guys who – maybe we're just – we're actually – we're shaming him and we don't really know. And I don't want to be shamed like this as a, you know, burly fella because I don't smell. But, you know, I make an effort. But you got to put on socks. And then it's the sweatshirt. Thank you, TMZ. Clammy Belichick. Oh.
I hope somebody does tell me this. When I reach yes. this age, if I smell, if I'm wearing no socks at the airport, call me out of my name, please.
You got to up your game. Deodorant, shower, put some socks on. Come on, Belichick.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN, Las Vegas. And ESPN, Reno.
Yeah, I'll admit, sometimes we obsess. We just saw that Bill Belichick travel woes story. I got another update on that in less than 10 minutes. And also, we were just talking about big fellas. We got a food eating showdown between Joey Chestnut, who technically is not a big fella, world champion eater, and DJ Khaled. So that's coming up as well, in addition to breakdown of Game 6 in the NBA Finals, the result last night, and the look ahead to Game 7. So let's bring in Chuck Esposito, who runs the book here at Treasure Island, of course, from STN. Chuck, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Steve. How are you tonight?
I'm pretty good. I'm getting a little goofy, getting ready for a big weekend here in town. You got anything planned other than work? You going out to any shows? You going to do anything? Go to any sporting events?
No shows this weekend. Looking forward to kind of the hoop craziness of Sunday with the Aces fever and the NBA Game 7. So if you're a basketball fan, you can't really beat what's going to go on Sunday.
That's a crazy day. Okay, so let's go behind the counter. And how did you guys do last night? Were there a lot of Pacers bettors, a lot of Pacers money line bettors? How'd the book do versus the bettors?
Yeah, we actually did better than I thought. There was a lot of money line play on the Pacers. That number continued to go down. However, the guests did lay the thunder on the points. The big things that really helped us was keeping the game under, and then the live betting aspect that as the Thunder got behind, and they made several runs in the first half before ultimately falling behind late in the first half and then never recovering. But we saw a lot of live play and a lot of second half play in the Thunder with the game staying under really was beneficial for our side of the counter.
Yeah, the notion is, and I get sucked in by this too, like, hey, they're not going to go down without fighting at all in the second half. And then the worst part is they come out in the second half and they got a 39 run against them at the end of the first, and they were terrible to start the second. So anyone chasing the money, trying to get OKC on a comeback, no shot.
Yeah, I really thought, and, you know, when the injury news came out about Haliburton, I really felt that not only us, but I thought as an industry, everybody kind of over-adjusted somewhat. I know what he means to that team, but it just seemed like going to that 12-1, it's very tough to in any sport to win that fourth game and close a team out in a best of seven. Here, the Thunder are on the road. I think they're the second youngest team, if they win the NBA championship, the second youngest team since 1972 or 3 to actually win the title. So, and then with the Haliburton news, I think psychologically you think, we're going to win this now. And I think it just was kind of the Pacers circle the wagons. Let's get through this game. And I just felt that 12-1, if they won that game, there was just such value there. I know that the Thunder have been favored in every game, even the games in Indy. And you look at what that series price went up to before game one and then what it is now. I just thought there was a lot of value on the Pacers going into last night's game. And I really thought we had an over-adjustment when the injury news came out.
Chuck Esposito is with us from STN. And what you're referencing there, we talked about it with one of our national gambling experts on Tuesday. You guys were dealing minus 2,300 for the series before game six on OKC. And, yeah, you could get 12-1 on the Pacers to win the series. Now, they still got to win at game seven. They got to go on the road. I'm sure that Haliburton is not 100%, but essentially anyone who took advantage of that, depending, I guess, how much money they put down, but they got a nice little lottery ticket, and, you got a game seven. You just got to get a big upset in a game seven.
Well, that's the key. I mean, at that price, you're right, it is a lottery ticket, but you are at home. Halliburton was going to play. I never really felt he wasn't going to play. You're going against a very young team, and as I said, it's tough to close a team out. So I thought that's the value. If you like Indiana at all now, play them now going into Game 6 in the series price, because that's where the value is. And we've seen the number in Game 7 come down a full point. Put it up late last night, conclusion of that game. It's come down a full point. So the bettors are continuing to ride the Pacers a bit, both side and money line, heading into Game 7.
Stanley Cup goes to the Panthers. In general, how did you make out with NHL title futures for 2025?
Overall, we did really well in the NHL. I mean, going into the Stanley Cup playoffs, the only team, and I know you and I chatted about it, that we had any serious liability on happened to play not too far away from Treasure Island. So that was really the only team. We were in good shape with almost every team that was left, including both Edmonton and Florida. Better shape on Florida. We really did need that game six, though. It was bet heavily in favor of Florida. I mean, that game went up a full 25 or 30 cents. But the key really was the future book we were in great shape on, and then keeping that game under. You looked at Game 5, I think it was, and you had so many goals scored in the third period on a score that looked like a dead under. I was afraid that was going to happen again in Game 6, but keeping that game under was really key.
Chuck Esposito is with us. He runs the book here at Treasure Island. We're at Golden Circle on a Friday. Chuck, tell people about downloading the STN app and what you guys got right now in terms of specials and bonuses.
Yeah, it's a great time to get the app. There's so much going on. There's really no dead time in our industry, Steve, as we've talked about so much. Get signed up now. You've got the $50 no-worry wager up to $50. If you win, great. If you lose, we give you that $50 back. But there's so many cool features on it and so many props. I mean, if you're a basketball fan this Sunday, I know we chatted a little bit about it off air, then you've got the Aces and the Fever and Caitlin Clark coming to town on Sunday afternoon, Game 7 of the NBA. Baseball in full swing, and we're not that far away from the start of football season. So a lot of cool stuff and a lot of cool props and features to check out on the STN Sports app.
Last couple things on the NHL. What are you guys thinking for 2026 Stanley Cup champion? I exchanged with you an offshore look at it. What do you think the board's going to look like for the title next year?
You know, I think a lot depends on free agency. I mean, we know Florida's got three kind of big free agents. We know that Mitch Marner might not be back with Toronto. I think a lot's going to depend on some of the movement that you see. I don't think there's that same generational player in the draft that we saw the last couple of years with Bedard and Celebrini. So you've heard already that Chicago might be willing to trade out of three. Utah might be willing to trade out of four to get some talented players there. I think Colorado has a resurgence. Vegas seems to always be there, and they're in on some guys. I think maybe Tampa and Toronto take a step back. But this Florida team, I mean, three straight years, pretty impressive with what they've done so far. And I think it's going to be tough for Edmonton to get back again. You lose back-to-back years. McDavid's now 28, been in the league, I think, 9 years. I think they have to make a decision on what they're going to do between the pipes. I mean, how could you not know, and how could you play that revolving door game in the Stanley Cup Finals with your goaltender? I think it really hurt the Oilers. So I'm not high on the Oilers going into this season, but I think Colorado has a little bit of a bounce back here, and it's just tough to go against the Panthers the way they played right now. But again, they've got a couple of big free agents they have to lock up.
Chuck Esposito's on Cofield & Company. I wanted to get your take on hockey and the audience right now. The ratings were down for the Stanley Cup Final. Why do you think that is? And I'm also really curious, is that reflected in the handle or is betting on the NHL as healthy as it's ever been?
The betting has been phenomenal. I think anytime there's isolated games, Steve, if it's the NBA or NHL and it's the finals, and I think the app is the difference maker with so many different props and ways to bet the game. You might not love one of the two teams, but there's so many cool features on it. Granted, these two teams played last year as well. It doesn't compare to anything when Vegas is in it or if maybe one of the original six teams is in it, but overall, handle was still really strong on these two teams in the Cup Final.
Let's close on a little baseball. What did the Devers trade change anything with the Red Sox or the Giants in the futures book? I mean, I certainly think it gives the Giants a better chance to make a run. They're actually kind of a longer shot. It's crazy in the NL West because there's so much respect for LA. But what did you think of the trade, and how did the Devers trade kind of go down with the bettors in the book?
Yeah, it definitely did. I mean, as soon as I heard it come across, I mean, I was out of the office and I'm looking at it. And once I realized it was from Jeff Patson, I'm like, this is legit. So, you know, we looked at it. We quickly, you know, adjusted the NBA or the MLB futures, definitely lowered the Giants and raised up the Red Sox across the board. I think it's a huge, you know, pickup for the Giants. They haven't been hitting great this year. They really needed to get one of those big free agents. I think the interesting thing will be is that he hits more home runs to left field. He's not that big of a pull hitter. I know he'll still hit a lot in the Cove, but some of those balls that were out in Fenway might not be at home in San Francisco, but definitely made an adjustment on both those two teams, raising the Red Sox up pretty dramatically, even though they have a lot of young players that are coming up and very talented, and lower the Giants. I think it's going to be interesting right now, especially with some of the Dodger pitching woes, if the Giants can kind of make that run and really make it a battle in the NFC, in the National League West.
What do you think of the game tonight? What kind of action are you getting with two young guys in Dobbins and Birdsong with you know, San Francisco favorite, but not a big number?
Well, Birdsong, I mean, he's pitched really well since he got called up, but numbers kind of ping-ponged a little bit. We opened the Giants up at minus $1.30. Initial push was down. Then it went back up and down right now. So low total, 7.5 under in this game. Definitely a big ballpark. But Devers against Boston, it's kind of much CTV tonight to watch how he does against his ex-team.
Wow, break up the Rockies. What the hell's going on here? We were cracking on them for getting out to like a 9-55 start, and now they've actually been playing pretty decent baseball. And I think the line's an overreaction, but Arizona's playing Denver, and the Rockies are right now. What do you guys have the Rockies at, and what's going on with the run line or the two run line? What are you doing now?
Well, I think you can hear yay sports books from my office because yes. Anytime the Rockies are playing well, it's great for us. I know they're 5-5 in their last 10 games. They had a little bit of a winning streak there, but we are rooting for them every single night. And when they're struggling and when Miami's struggling and the White Sox are struggling and the A's, man, it is tough from the baseball side of it. But overall, baseball has been much better the last 6 weeks. And I think you look at tonight's game, and Arizona in that game opened up $1.85, and that number's been coming down. So definitely a little bit of value on the Rockies early on, the way they've played of late, and with the bettors thinking there's some value there getting that big plus price. But we are Rocky fans again tonight, A's fans, and we're rooting for Angel fans and rooting for some of these dogs to continue to play well across the board.
Chuck, we appreciate it. Enjoy the busy weekend, especially the Wild and Woolly Sunday, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, Steve. Sounds great. You too. Thank you.
There he is, Chuck Esposito, STN app. Download it, get the bonus. You can also come on down here and take care of business, open the account. They've got the 24/7 kiosk to get the betting windows, but yeah, STN is now in here at Treasure Island. In the 5 o'clock hour, I'll get you updated on Major League Baseball and the Padres and the Dodgers and all the stuff that was going on last night and really for the last couple of days with Beanball back and forth. But we got hooked on this Belichick story. Belichick on the road, leaving North Carolina, and he's got paparazzi, right? So he's got Jordan Hudson there because they want to take pictures of Hudson. And, you know, when you're 73 years old, you want to date a 23-year-old, guess what? It's not New England anymore. You can't hide out. So he's got paparazzi, and they got a picture of him at the airport 16 minutes before his flight is supposed to depart from North Carolina, actually here to Vegas, and he's wearing a sweatshirt, and the sweatshirt is just a nightmare. It is just sweated all the way through. He's got it. And believe me, I went through this. Like I had a summer where I worked at a car lot, and every day I had to wear a white shirt or a black shirt. Otherwise, it would be rings of sweat. And like, if you think I'm competitive on radio, when I'm selling, I am a lunatic. So I would run all over the place, 110 degrees. So I feel for Belichick. You know, Griffin was actually coming out here to go to the Fountain Blue to go check out the Brady Jim Gray Museum over there. Why? But again, at the beginning, why a sweatshirt?
Oh.
You can't. He better not be wearing a sweatshirt over here. Bill, if you and Jordan are listening right now, and I know you are, come over. We got some T-shirts. We'll give you a T-shirt. You got to cool it down. It's 109 degrees out there. 5 o'clock hour on the way.